Good evening and welcome to the Cycles of Change radio program here on September 24th, 2014. Tonight we have two exciting guests that are going to talk a little bit about getting your word out there through social media and doing what you want to do, not just what you can do, because the tools have advanced maybe a little more powerfully than we know. At the top of the hour, we're going to speak with Miss Marie Claudine Mukamabano, who's going to tell us about her new audiobook, The Power of Social Media, Be Yourself and Change Somebody's Life Today. In the second half of the hour, Adama Sirasilla joins us. She's been awarded Miss Guinea USA 2014. She's going to talk a little bit about efforts she is leading towards the homeland of her family in Guinea. Now, to begin with, Marie Claudine Mukamabano and her book, The Power of Social Media, Be Yourself and Change Somebody's Life Today. She has a transformational audiobook as an excellent resource for every person who seeks to maximize the use of social media to change the lives of others. In her book, she describes the potential growth each person has to expand a company and bring it to a level beyond one's imagination. She offers her life's work as an example of a thrilling, entertaining, and exciting story. In her audiobook, no one will leave disappointed, but will be empowered effectively to use social media. Marie Claudine Mukamabano, because of her efforts, work, and initiative, as well as her humanitarian philanthropic activities, has been recognized to be, this year, the impact maker in development on the African continent by the Nigerian News Journal in Lagos. In 2013, she won the Africa Brave Award in New York City. In 2012, she was awarded Humanitarian Achievements Award. In 2011, she won the African Community Leader Award. And in 2010, Ambassador for Peace Award. Marie Claudine Mukamabano, an orphan survivor of Rwanda genocide, has received recognition from the Assembly of the State of New York for turning a life of hardship into one of leadership and advocacy. On May 2011, on the occasion of the African Day celebration. In 2011, Ms. Claudine graduated the International Trauma Studies, a program directed by Dr. Jack Saul, a professor at Columbia University. To find out more, visit whydoiexist.org. Its mission is to heal Rwanda orphans together. Why Do I Exist? The Kuki Ndiro Rwanda Orphan Support Project is a humanitarian efforts project for children dedicated to education, financial, physical, emotional, psychological, and spiritual healing, as well as the well-being of Rwanda orphans affected by genocide and by HIV and AIDS. Visit the site to find out more. whydoiexist.org.
Claudine, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. Thank you.
And I thank you for joining us tonight. Claudine, there's so many things for us to touch on tonight. But first of all, I wanted to ask you about your book, The Power of Social Media, Be Yourself and Change Somebody's Life Today. Can you tell us a little bit about that book?
The Power of Social Media. Thank you very much for having me at your radio. It is a pleasure and honor to share my story and my work. So the power
yes.
of social media is an audiobook I produced because of how I saw I use social media to impact the lives of the orphans in Rwanda. I am a survivor of genocide in Rwanda, and then I established a program called Why Do I Exist to help the survivors. So I saw how social media, especially Facebook, helped me to touch many orphans according to the feedback they gave to me, according to conversation I always have with them via social media. So that's how I come up with that title, The Power of Social Media, Be Yourself, Change Somebody's Life Today.
Yes, and you've gone through quite a transformation yourself. You mentioned genocide in Rwanda in 1994. There was quite a civil war going on. Some 800,000 to 1 million people were lost. Attacks were very vicious, and you lost your entire family, did you not, Claudine, in that violence? So
yeah. My parents were killed. My uncle, my auntie, my cousins, my grandparents were killed. My big sister, my old sister, she were raped, and then they cut it out with machetes. Yeah, she was killed. I survived by the grace of God. I was, I can say that I was lucky to survive with my brother and my sister, because there's many survivors who don't have anybody who left behind in their family.
Yes, indeed. And I want our listeners to know that I had the privilege of meeting you just a few days ago at an event in Central Park down by the Bandshell. When an event was being held there, the International Peace Day celebration in New York, and the celebration, that particular aspect of the celebration was hosted by producer Paul Slatkis, who was having the Peace Day party there. Up on stage, there were speakers that came up that were very inspiring, and you were one of the key speakers there. And you told the story about where it is that you had come from, what had happened there. But your message to us on this day of peace was peace and forgiveness. And you were so bright and so positive, and you were reaching the people who were there. I had to come up with words and say I was totally moved by your message and the way that you came across and the way that you inspired everybody. And when I found out more about your message and how you're doing it, I realized that so many people could benefit from this. You're setting an example of going beyond your experience and using today's tools to reach out and do what you want to do. And you're doing that by helping the orphans of Rwanda. You're using social media to do it. And because of your book, The Power of Social Media, people are going to be able to learn how to do that.
Yes. In this audio book I share how I use social media to help orphans, and then I share different tips, different ways people can benefit really by using social media, how I build relationship with the prospective donor, how I build relationship with the partner, how I collaborate with my volunteers, how I build a book club through social media. So I share my work example, how people can do the same thing to increase their visibility of their businesses, or just to increase the visibilities of their message, whatever message people want to share, how they can impact many lives through social media. We established International Day for Peace in Rwanda via social media as well. Like last year, I was on Facebook. I coordinated UN's International Day for Peace in Rwanda at Mwima Primary School through social media. So it's a wonderful tool. Technology helps us to reach out to many people at the same time, in a short period of time. Not only now, I saw how my work doesn't only impact lives of the orphans in Rwanda, it impacts lives of many people from different corners of the world. Like here in America, I receive feedbacks of the people who started to establish their programs to help other people in their communities. I received testimonies from people, some of my Facebook friends who was born, grew up in Guinea. Now they started a program to help their beloved ones or their community in Guinea. I saw testimonies of the people who live in Sweden, in Paris, in Belgium, who are doing things there because I inspired them, I impacted them to do so. So every time when I receive a message from them, I'm like, wow, did I tell you to do this? Then they say, no, you didn't tell us to do that, but the way you work, the way you love what you do, the way you love to impact the lives of the orphans in Rwanda, the way you communicate, the way you post messages, on Facebook every time you inspire us to do more in our lives. I was like, wow.
And how wonderful it is that what you're doing can influence so many more people, because the people who are being helped by what you've chosen to do with social media can receive more help, more people can connect together. And you've created a wonderful model here for us to follow how to use the tools that are already in place. You know, there are many videos up online with interviews about you. In fact, when I Google your name, there are just multiple pages of links to you, stories about what you're doing, the projects that you're working on, that you've created, and the words you've won, and so forth. In one of those videos, you told a story about how in 2013, in October, you met somebody through social media. In November, you met her face-to-face. And then in December, the two of you were traveling to Rwanda to help the orphan children.
Yeah, she went to Rwanda. Yes, that's Susan. I introduced myself to her in October last year, and then we met face to face in November, and then she went to Rwanda in December. It was beautiful, and then I coordinated everything. We bring out together 11 our friends to come to take her training, how to overcome the trauma, and then building resilience. She's an expert in trauma healing. So she trained them. And then when she finished to train them, I asked the orphans to give me like a feedback about what they learned. I was overwhelmed with the feedback, especially Levokat. Levokat, she's a young lady who they cut her arm off during the genocide. She has a plastic arm. She told me that, as you can see on the picture, she's the first one on the left side. So she told me that... First, she said, thank you very much for having me in this program. And then she said, ever since 1994 genocide, she never get opportunity to do exercise. She, in school, they used to tell her that you have one arm. You can't do anything. Just sit down and wait for other students. When they finish to do exercise, you can join us. So she faced the discrimination. Plus to the genocide, she experienced it. She's an orphan and she doesn't have anybody. And now in school, she's facing the same, the same discrimination. It was incredible. Then she told me that Susan showed her how she can do exercise with one arm. So
indeed,
she was very happy. And then she started to teach other all friends how to do exercise. And then she told me that during the commemoration of genocide, because many survivors become so traumatized, she would not be able to carry them, but she would sit down, comfort them. She would use techniques she learned from trauma training to help other survivors. I was overwhelmed with joy because of her feedback. I even posted on Facebook. I said, if there is something I'm proud of, I feel so joyful, so happy that I ever did in my entire life is this program. Because we changed her life. We shifted her thinking. We gave her hope. We showed her that everything is possible. I was very happy. That's what actually inspired me to write this audiobook. That's what God used to give me a vision and wisdom to come up with an audiobook and then the title, Be Yourself, Change Somebody's Life Today. You can be who you are without trying to change yourself, because sometimes when people understand, think about helping others, they think that, oh, I'm gonna transform myself, I'm gonna totally change myself in order to help somebody. So because of that, they're scared to help. But you can be who you are and then help somebody by being you. So the power of social media, I saw how social media helped to connect to to coordinate and then to help these orphans and to bring up the expat. I was like, wow, this in these social media platform tools and this technology God helped the human being to create, there is a power inside of it. We just need to recognize it and then to use it like to use what we have. So that's how I come up with the title, The Power of Social Media. Be yourself, change somebody's life today. And then I credit God for that.
Well, I thank God for what you're doing. And the power of social media allowed you to be yourself in a way that did change somebody's life. And you had help doing that because of how you use social media. Your example is born of experience. You know, there's a lot of how-to books out there and people reciting that you can do this and you can do that. But your message comes from what you are doing. It's organic learning. It is born of experience, and you're leading by example. And we can see, we all know that we can go onto Facebook and have a profile and connect with friends, but it is such a wonderful life-transforming thing as well. And you are doing that in order to help other people. And because of your book, we can learn how we can do it too. There's a great commentator called Dick Gregory, who started out as a comedian many years ago and became a well-known sort of a philosopher on modern times, as you were. And he reminds us of the message. People would ask him, well, I would like to do something too, but where do I start? He tells us, start right where you are. Your heart is where you are. Your heart is in helping these people, and you were able to do that. You were able to help the children because of how you reached out and others are joining in. It's an extraordinary story, Claudine.
Oh,
and with a positive
you.
Message of forgiveness and all. And people are going to be able to get the book by going to whydoiexist.org and also to find out about the Orphan Support Project and other humanitarian efforts for the children to enhance their education and everything else, right, by going to your site. Can they not? It's a very well-developed site.
Thank you.
I think there's a lot of messages. It's full and rich, and I invite everybody to go there. Now, you also do speaking engagements. Is that true? You go to various events and carry your message to other people, what, in and around New York City?
Yes, I speak to schools, universities, churches, New York City, in different states, in New Jersey, Chicago, Philadelphia. I go to different states.
Well, your message is being heard near and far, near because of your live presentations, which are really quite exceptional. You were quite inspiring on stage, and it was a very nice event down there on the Peace Day celebration on September 21st, 2014. But it travels far because of how you use social media. And we can do this. We can reach out. We can make a difference. And so, you know, the common adage, become the change you want to see in the world. Well, that you have to be yourself to do that, and to be ourselves and have who we are change somebody else's life, then we have to use what we have before us. And you're doing that. You're using your voice. You're using your presentation. You're using your experience, and you're using social media. It's a wonderful example for us all.
You remember Moses. Moses, when he went to, you know, to when he was appointed to go to help Israel, the people, the Jewish people. You remember God asked him, "What do you have in your hands?" And then Moses was like, "I have a stick." And then God said, "Okay, I can use that stick. Put the stick down. It's gonna, you know, it's gonna be big snake, you know, and it's eat all those snakes." So put your stick up toward to Oshia. Oshia will separate. They will come the way Jewish people will pass by. Always God asks us what we have, and then he can multiply. He can use whatever we have in our hands. Like even Jesus, when Jesus wanted to feed his disciples, they brought to him this little boy who had the fish and egg. So a fish and the bread. So he multiplied. He feed everybody who was there. So what we have, we use what we have. God used what we have to multiply. So it's up to us to know what tools we have, what we have now. You're right. Be yourself. So who I am, what I have as myself, which God can use to transform not only myself, even everybody around me.
Well, you know, the wonderful ways that you're using your tools point out that the great masters show us that what we have is sometimes more than we can do, is more than we
so
know.
True.
The example
so
of the stick to the snake, parting the seas, feeding everybody with a fish and a loaf of bread. And we just have to realize that. So perhaps the first thing is knowing that we can, and not just be daunted by what we can or can't do. Think, what do we want to do? And then figure out how, because we can always do more than we ever realized.
So true. Yes. Yeah, you're right. Because God is the one who gave us a vision. And then, like Saint Teresa, a little flower said, God is the one who gave us a vision. Because of his misericord, he can put desire in our heart, which he will never fulfill. So whatever desire God put in our heart, we fulfill it because he's the one who gave us that vision. But it's up to us to recognize that God gave us that vision. You know, the mistake I saw most human beings make, when God gave us a vision, we go to ask our friends what they think about it. And then we waste too much time asking our friend, what do you think about my vision? Really, our friends was not there when God gave us vision. Instead of going to a master to ask, to our creator to ask, so I get this, what can I do with this? Because he's the one who planted the seed in our heart. So we waste too much time asking our friend, what do you think about it? Our friends, they don't have the same vision like ourselves. They don't even think that is possible. What they do? They help us to kill our vision. They tell us, you will never do this. And then we get, we get disappointed and then we give up.
So we can't be someone else. If we ask someone else what they think, they're holding it up against the template of their own dreams and their own perception. We have to be ourselves, because if we realize ourselves, then we can realize the messages that are given to us, and each divine message to all of us. We each receive a unique message, a unique calling. And which just seems ironic, because we're all one, we're all interconnected. But if we're going to know what our unique calling is, we can't ask someone else, what is my message?
So
we have
true.
To get it from
yes.
source.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I was surprised one day when this guy who lives in Sweden. He sent me a message. He's my friend on Facebook. He sent me a message. He told me that he's a professor. I want to go to Rwanda to do her research for her PhD. She's doing a PhD in conflict resolution. So she wants to go to Rwanda, but she doesn't know anybody in Rwanda. So this student, he's doing a master degree in Sweden in the communication. He's my friend on Facebook. He talked to his classmates. He told them, including his professor, he said, I know somebody who's well respected in a community, in a Rwandan community. She does a speech at the United Nations all the time. She has a book called The Power of Social Media, Be Yourself, Change Somebody's Life Today. We can ask her to help you. Professor was surprised how she can be in Sweden and then getting help for somebody in New York through social media.
Uh-huh.
about her traveling to Rwanda. Me myself, I was even surprised. I was like, wow, how this come to, you know, how this come to life? What happened? I was asking the student, what happened? How your professor knows me? And then the student, he told me what happened that in the class, the professor was worried, you know, she's traveling to Rwanda, but she doesn't know anybody. And then the student was like, I know somebody, I can hook you up. So we, you know, he introduced me to the professor through email, professor traveled to Rwanda. Now, professor, she's in Rwanda.
That is fantastic. Social media really allows us to be immediate, interconnected, broaden our spheres, and to work in a more collective effort. It's absolutely fantastic what can be done. And you've had many interns and volunteers help with your project, too. I see that you give notice about some of them on your site at whydoiexist.org. And it really takes many hands make light work. And so you're able to get a lot more done with this. Now, are you based in New York? Is that where you mainly work from?
Yes. We are based in New York. We have a team in Rwanda. Yeah, I have many interns. I'm so privileged to have many people who want to help. Many interns. Yeah, as you know, nonprofit is not easy work. You need the hands of many people who can help you to strategize, to help our friends, and then also to fundraise and then to spread the word, spread the message. Yeah, and then I'm glad that I am a dancer. God gave me the talents, dancing and singing, music, dancing and music helped me also to reach out to many people, because most of the time all these volunteers, I meet them when I go to perform. Most of the time before I perform, I speak, I tell a little bit about my story, and then I talk about my work, and then I ask people if they want to volunteer. Even if I forget to mention that after my performance, people come to me, they're like, do you need a volunteer? Can you become your volunteer? I'm like, yeah, I forget to mention that before I perform, but yes, I need it, yeah. So it's beautiful combination how God gave me all these talents, and then God helped me to use all these talents in a way to benefit for my all friends and then everybody around me.
Obviously, it works because I read one project where many, many, many pairs of shoes were taken to children who needed them. And this was coordinated through efforts with social media. It is really a very powerful thing. And you can also tell stories and make people aware of things. When people listen to news often by traveling in their car to work, they hear the radio, or they turn on the evening broadcast or listen to 24-hour news station. But there's only so much news that can be put in. And it's usually here in America, this is a wonderful country, I love this country, but we are a bit insular. We care most about what is happening about us in the United States, and we're only interested in foreign affairs when those foreign affairs affect us. And so there are so many things happening all around the world that just do not get selected by our news. But when you have social media and you have alternative outreaches, it can tell stories and go in depth in the way that mainstream does not. And that's one of the reasons why it's become so powerful. Who would have imagined that when Mark Zuckerberg created Facebook, that in just a few years it was going to be one-fifth of the world is on Facebook right now. One-fifth of every person alive is on Facebook, because it turns out this is what we want. We want more. We want different. We're seeking alternatives, and we're making it happen. And because of that, you're using these tools to make your dreams happen. And thank goodness that you are. So, Claudine, in these last moment of our interview, is there one main message that you would like to leave our listeners tonight?
I would love to tell the listeners that I know sometimes we face a challenge, we face a hardship, we face difficulties, but any whatever challenge we face in our everyday life, we can overcome, because each individual of us has the power within. We have the power within. It's up to us to recognize the power we have inside of us and then rate that power, stand out, and then guide us in whatever we want to fulfill in our lives. Listen to our inside voice, because everybody has a voice. We have this beautiful voice come to talk to us anytime, sometime nights, in the morning, during the day, to guide us to do good. So this is soft voice come all the time to guide us. So let us listen to that beautiful voice. Turn down all these bad voices which always want us to fight, want us to be in a conflict with others. You know, if we can turn out that voices, that bad voices, and then let the beautiful soft voice lie out, which I call the Holy Spirit, that really help everybody, each and individual of us. But remember, we are smart and then we are intelligent, because our Creator is smart more than anything else. That's the message I would tell every listener, that you can do everything you want to do. You can achieve anything you want to achieve, because if, as a survivor myself and as a survivor of genocide, who lost my parents, my grandparents, my uncle, my auntie when I was a little teenager, and then I had to go back to finish my high school and then go to university and then dream to come to America, ask God to bring me to America to be able to establish my organization. Why do I exist? If I can do what I did, if God can help me to accomplish all this, He can do the same thing to you. You can even do more than myself, because I did all this as an orphan. So imagine if, anyway, you dear listener, you are, if you are not an orphan, there is no excuse at all. I suppose to have many excuses as an orphan to say, I can do this. My mom, she's not here. My dad, he's not here. But I did it anyway. Like Mother Teresa said, do it anyway. So if I can accomplish this, you can do more than myself. So go there, do whatever you want to do. God will open the way. Universal will open the way. Anything you want to do, there is always a way. If there is a will, there is a way. And then if you feel discouraged for any reason, go to my website, whydoiexist.org. Read my stories. Read what I have accomplished, that will inspire you to do more. Most of the time I get feedback from the friends, they like, every time they fell down, they go to my website, they see everything I do, they're like, no, we can die. We need to do something. If Claudine, she's there doing this work, despite to her life's challenge, no, we can't just let this pass by. Let's do it. And then they make things happen.
Indeed. Absolutely. And you've certainly shown that it can be done. You're leading by example on this. Marie Claudine Mukamabano, and let me spell your last name, Mukamabano. For those of you who would like to look her up, I encourage you to do that. And most of all, I encourage you to go to Why Do I Exist and find out more of what she's doing and find out how it's an example of what you can do, too. Claudine, thank you for calling in tonight. I trust you'll stay on for the second half and listen in to Sarah Silla as we hear her story, too.
Thank you. They can even go to shoutofjoyministry.com, shoutofjoyministry.com. They can order my book from there as well.
Shoutofjoyministry.com. Also go there, by all means. Thank you so much, Claudine. The Cycles of Change radio program here at blogtalkradio.com/cycles. On the second half of the show, we have another very exciting guest with us. It is Adama Sarah Silla. She has won Miss Guinea USA 2014. She has a story that is going to broaden our horizons, too, as we learn a little bit more about the homeland of her family, which is Guinea, West Africa. Her entire family is from there, but she was born and raised here in Atlanta, Georgia, but she is closely connected to the homeland of her family. Growing up, she was raised by a multi-talented family with its singing, dancing, and acting, and more, in which she engaged. When in school, she performed in plays, sang in choruses, and danced in shows, and found a joy for life in performance. Sarah graduated from the acting and modeling school known as Barbizon in Georgia, and currently she attends Georgia Gwinnett College. In developing combined skills, she is enhancing her aspirations to help and to counsel others. Adama Sarah Silla has won Miss Guinea USA 2014, and this has helped her extend her platform, which is to reduce human trafficking in Guinea and to expand this mission to surrounding countries. For this purpose, she hosts events and fundraisings to further manifest these aims. So here with us tonight is Adama Sarah Silla.
Hello, David. Yes, I'm here.
Thank you for joining us. I had the pleasure of meeting you as well at the Peace Day event on September 21st, 2014. It was quite an event. So, Sarah, how did it feel to be the winner of Miss Guinea USA 2014?
Oh, wow. It felt so great. It felt like a load has been lifted off my shoulders because I had worked so hard to, you know, become the winner, and I really wasn't expecting it until I looked to my left and I looked to my right. I seen that, you know, the people that I believed in my head weren't going to win, they didn't. So then finally they called my name. I was filled with joy, and my family members out there in the audience, I heard them shout first.
And this has brought you a lot of recognition and so forth, and you're channeling this towards some very worthwhile means. I know that you have concerns about, well, many things that have touched the homeland of your family in Guinea. There has been an issue of human trafficking, which historically and in recent history has affected every part of the world. And it's
exactly.
Still a concern today. And really, we're not always hearing about that so much because Africa as a continent is huge. It is vast, it is rich, it is diversified,
it is.
Many cultures, many, many languages, and so forth. We really don't really find out, and we don't have Africa Today TV on most of our cable networks, do we?
No.
So it doesn't
that's where all civilization started, so why shouldn't it be on regular TV? Why should, you know, we be accessing this every day, like as we do even other cultures, like Hispanic channels are on, and you know, Asian channels are on. What about African channels? We have to order it. I have 5 channels, ABO, which I ordered, and some other channels, but it had through Dish. So I feel like I don't know, America is hesitant to reveal the real truth about Africa, or they just, you know, want to continue that path of, you know, showing off the desert people parts of Africa and the people who only wear jewelry as clothes. So it's always been my mission as a growing up to, you know, show Africa in a better light and, you know, get in contact with the public and TV shows and, you know, radio shows like tonight and, you know, get the message out about it because it is serious. Like, I grew up fair-skinned with long hair, and I always got, like, criticized, like, you're not African, you're too pretty, or you're too light-skinned, why is your hair long, you know, and that actually, it wasn't a compliment to me, it made me feel upset. I felt like, okay,
yep.
So you actually insulted me, because you're calling me beautiful, but you're saying that where I come from, there, you know, the people there don't look like me, and that's wrong, because the people there's even white people there, you know, there's Asian people, that's what I grew up with, and I want to, you know, be a voice to all those people that feel the same way that I feel, that this has to eventually end, and it has to, you know, have a broader meaning to a new beginning, a better beginning to expose the country. And expose Africa in general.
This is happening more now. A book came out a while ago called The World is Flat, pointing out how the old nationalistic tendencies are being left behind. The borders, the fences, the barriers, the walls are coming down. We're having a free exchange of ideas across open boundaries. We are having international trade rather than centralized production, trading with other countries that have centralized production. And we're just becoming more virtual. And in the process of that, it turns out that the old adage is true. The more I learn, the more I find out I don't know, is what people are saying. And this is so true about learning the rich, vast cultures from all around the world. Unfortunately, because of social media and because of modern communications, we're able to find out a little bit more. Here in America, there is a Eurocentric view of history. And a few people know that the largest pyramid in the world is not in Egypt. It's in Central America. Few people know that at any time of the world, you know, just a few 700 years ago, the largest cities in the world were not in Europe. And also there's an aspect of another old adage, it takes one to know one. When a person realizes an awareness, a depth, an emotional sensitivity, and becomes an awakened being, then they can appreciate the depth, the qualities of a language that they hear. They can realize what are the subtleties and nuances of a different culture and not judge everything by material values. And there's a tendency here in industrialized nations to judge a culture by what they build with their hands, when there is tremendous things about learning and religious ideas and philosophies and understanding that are not going to be reflected in that new gadget with a lot of gears on it and everything like that. So now that we're communicating more, most people don't, when they find out your family is in Guinea, what kind of questions do you get? Do you get asked, well, do they wear clothes? Or what are the perceptions?
They're like, is there any people who wear clothes in Guinea? Do they have shoes? Are there trains and buses? Is there transportation? Are there houses there? Those are kind of one of the most famous ones that always get asked. Is there a tiger or a lion in your backyard? Did you grow up with the lions? Did your family grow up with the lions?
Yeah. Americans tend to be isolated, but that's all changing. There's a great shift now. There's a tremendous shift away from being nationalistic and just being concerned about one's own backyard. And Americans are more concerned about what's happening in the world. I study the cycles of change. That's what began this program. And I used to talk about the cycles of nations, primarily USA, but more and more people are asking about the other set of cycles, which affect the entire world. Now, when it comes you have many wonderful things in Guinea, but one of the concerns you have is about human trafficking. Can you tell us a little bit about what's happening there?
Well, human trafficking is a $32 billion industry, and it's rapidly growing. And 30 million people today around this world are involved in this trafficking. It's a form of modern-day slavery. So in this case, most of the time, it's mostly women and young children that are trafficked. In my country, in Guinea, 20% of Guinea is living in extreme poverty. So in this case, that causes women to be, you know, involved in prostitution, which is also a form of trafficking, but sometimes they voluntarily become in the trafficking business because they're poor. They don't have, you know, any means of food or any means of clothing, so they have no choice. And most of the time, their parents or family members would allow them to because that's their only source of income. In other words, there are kids that are easily trafficked in Guinea because they will go to the buses and the subways to beg for food. So the adults would fool them and say, you know, I can give you food. But instead, they're fooling them into the trafficking business. So they would trade these kids for forced, they would trade them for gold and they get into the forced mining business. Most of the time, the boys get into the mining business, and the girls are the ones that, you know, do the sexual activity. It's really sad. And Guinea is like one of the biggest countries in Africa for gold, to produce gold. So they would train them for gold. Also, young kids starting at the age of 3, you know. And these are kids, they're orphans also. They're left alone. Their parents would, you know, run away from them because they can't support a child. So they'd run and leave, you know. And the kids are just forced to walk around, roam, and beg for food.
Yes. One of the best things that can be done to counter this begins with shedding light on the situation. That's why I'm so glad that you're speaking out and telling this story. And this is the power of communication, whether it's a radio program or whether it's your Facebook or whatever, blogs.
Social media, like Claudine said. I have been taking good advantage of that. Every time I have a fundraising event, I post it up on Facebook or Instagram and, you know, Twitter and YouTube and all these other good social media websites, because it gets the message across to people, and people that I don't know would tell their friends would tell their friends, then I, you know, would have a whole bunch of people at my fundraising event, and that money would strictly go, towards my mission, which hopefully soon I am going to be going to Guinea in October. Sometimes the trip would be delayed because of what we hear on the news, because of Ebola, and, you know, people now recognize Guinea, like, because of Ebola, and I want them to recognize Guinea because of all the, you know, beautiful sights there. Anyway, I believe that I can make a change through, you know, social media, through the public, through the news, and I'm just rapidly working my way up to those goals.
Indeed you are, and they are very worthwhile goals. And a message that I'm getting from both you and Claudine is that because of today's communication, of how we're so much better interconnected, that we can realize our goals. We can think more of what do we want to do and get over a state of feeling helpless. And I honor you because you're choosing that what you want to do is to bring light on the situations that need to be changed, and you're using today's tools for that. This may be part of a growing trend of what we can do, because we now have a better way to do that, and you're using that. One thing as we go on here, if people want to contact you, is there a way that they can reach you or find you?
The best way right now is Facebook, probably. They can request me on Facebook. My name is Sirasola, S-I-R-A. Last name, S-Y-L-L-A, and then it's space M-I-S space G-U-I-N-E-A, Miss Guinea. And they can also like my Facebook page, which is the same name, except Guinea in the Facebook page is G-U-I-N-E-E. That's how they can contact me. Or my email, just my name, Sirasola, Sirasylla 4593 at yahoo.com. And I'm always checking my email and my Facebook.
That is very good. And you're currently studying psychology.
I feel that being a psychologist, I can learn how to interact with people more. And I feel that already I have a gift of speaking to people, because I'm very open and I'm not a judgmental person. Because I know that I've been through a lot, so why would I, you know, judge another person? Because we're all human beings, we all make mistakes. And also, being a psychologist, I feel like it broadens my my environment to speak to people and to let girls' voices who aren't being heard be, you know, more heard.
And your parents, are they currently here in America?
My mom is here. She's in Georgia. My dad, however, is in Guinea, and he went back in 2007.
Yes. Yes. May I ask you, what were their impressions of America? I mean, do you sometimes feel that you're seeing the land in which you were raised through their eyes? Do you see it from a different perspective when you see how they're seeing it? Or what was their impressions of this different land here in America?
Their impressions when they first came over here, it wasn't what they expected, because what they expected was, you know, this is it is the land of opportunities. However, they struggled a lot. They came here, they were not, you know, citizens, and they struggled to get that citizenship. So coming here, they just really, I have an older brother and an older sister and a younger brother. They wanted their kids to have a really great education. That's why they came to America, because like 20 years ago, school systems in Guinea weren't that great. And compared to America, America is still the number one place to have a great education. So that's why they came over here. And that's why I want to fulfill that dream of theirs of having at least an associate degree going to college. So that is really important, because that's why they came over here, to better their children.
And just as they were able to travel across the sea for better education, we're finding now that we can travel across the world with our communications and get our messages out. And you're doing that. And your message is that there are things that we need to focus on. And this broader net of communications is bringing a wider light to things. And you're using that. You're boosting it by letting the shadows not hide the darkness that falls on those who are taken advantage of by others. And this message must be reached out for people to understand. It happens all over. You know, many Americans conceive of slavery as something that's over, something of the past, a somewhat recent past of this country, and not being aware of what's happening in other countries, that it's going on today. And human trafficking, and taking advantage of children, and people who are in impoverished situations that have no alternative but to participate in this for their own survival. But once we realize this and we focus our energies on this, then we can seek to make a change. Now, you say that Guinea is one of the major producers of gold in the world. Is that true?
Yes, it has a really great system for gold. Yes, in Africa. Mm-hmm. And people are, you know, Guinea, I feel like their government is more on the corrupt side. And they, for gold, it's just crazy. They're not really paying attention to the people who are being trafficked for gold and all the, you know, underground work that's being done.
Yes.
But I feel like it can be such a greater city if, you know, the political side and the humanitarian side don't always butt heads and work something out. that's why I believe I can come in and do something about it. Because it's not just my title as Miss Guinea, as a, you know, an African American young woman. I believe that I can, you know, do something when I get there, which. Helping the orphans out, first of all, getting the attention of the government by doing so, sponsoring them, giving them at least $20 a month for food and clothing, and then that won't be their excuse why they wouldn't go to school, because they would say, I don't have shoes, I don't have good clothes, I'm embarrassed to go to school. So, you know, $20 over there is worth a lot more money in Guinea.
Yeah. Well, I honor you for what you're doing, and, you know, what you're doing can change the world. There's an old adage that the pen is mightier than the sword. Well, today it's the keyboard that's more mighty than the sword. And, you know, some of the things that you're doing of using your voice, spreading the message, reaching out to others, and using the recognition that you get as Miss Guinea to channel that attention into the needs of others is an example that I hope others will follow. This is what we can do, ladies and gentlemen. So start thinking about what good do you want to do in the world, because the tools are already in your hands. The others who have built things like Facebook and the other social, Twitter, MySpace,
everything is
the
on
tools
Google.
Have been given to us. And
everything
yes,
is
and
on the internet. If you just
and,
do
oh,
your
my
research,
goodness.
You will find out about things. You, if you want to help people, there's like homeless shelters everywhere. If you want to, you know, get your message across, you know, find your local radio station, or, you know, find your way to a magazine, or this is America also. If you're living in America, it's so easy to, you know, make your dreams come true.
Absolutely.
You just have to do your research.
Just do your research, because the libraries come to us now. We used to think, well, it'd be nice to live in the big city where the libraries are and I could go and study. The libraries are coming to us everywhere, and it's every library in the world. And using them properly and for the right reasons, which is what you're doing, can actually even be an alternative to war itself. Does that sound extreme? Consider this. More than a century and a half ago, tens of thousands of people here in this country went to war, picked up arms in order to stop the abuse of slavery. What if there was an alternative to use of force, when you could use the force of the written word and getting your voice out there to raise awareness, to remove the shadows and replace it with light, to coalesce and rally the support of others, which we can do now, and to have the force of the many who really want to change, and then also use Twitter. You know, these days, today's war is being brought to you by Twitter. We were getting updates of struggles in the Middle East, in Iran, uprisings in here, and then people who would abuse others would become afraid of having the witnesses of the world. And you have the eyes of the world upon you when you're doing something wrong. So we can use that for doing something good, as you are. And I hope a lot of this does continue to be channeled towards skinning to save people from that, and to everywhere else where it's happened. It's happened here in America. It's happening in America right now in cities where people are poor. This is a story that is fragmented all around the world. What's not fragmented?
30 million people, and it's still
keep.
Rapidly growing. 30 million people are involved in modern-day slavery, and it's still growing. That's a really big number. You know, that can be, if it's your sister, you'd be highly affected, but just think of it like it's your relative. Wouldn't you want to save them? You know, if you know someone who's a victim of trafficking in any sort, you should immediately contact the police.
That's right. That's right. To protect the children, to protect women who have felt lost. And this is what a feeling of helplessness can do sometimes for people. But we have tools, we have alternatives, and the positive alternatives can be put to good use by following your example, Kira, and using the tools that were mentioned by Claudine, because the world is changing, and the world is us. And it's a new day already. Well, Kira Silla, I thank you very much for sharing your story. I'm very pleased this year's Miss Guinea was awarded to you, because you're certainly doing wonderful things for it. And as you change anything, anywhere, you're changing everything, everywhere. And all boats will be rising with this new tide of consciousness that was being more elevated by your efforts and the efforts of getting the truth out there and doing the right thing. Sarah, thank you so much
for
joining us tonight.
And thank you so much for having me on the show.
It was a privilege. I think you have edified the listeners of this program. Folks, I hope each and every one of you has gotten something from this. Think about it, remember it, and assimilate it into your life. And think about, what do you want to do? What is your hope? What is your aspiration? We can change the world now. What do you want to do? Follow the examples of these remarkable women. You can do your unique calling as well. Thank you both. This is David Katzmeier from the Cycles of Change radio program here at blogtalkradio.com/cycles. Thank you for listening, and may you change the world as well. Good night.